Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of the Armchair Gamer Podcast. It's been almost a month since I released my last episode, and I apologize for that. It's a one-man show, so I had to have enough content lined up for a half-hour episode every 2 weeks. And video games don't have that much news. Well, not the kind I want to talk about. That being said, this episode I get to talk about my new favorite game, Journey, on the PSN store, and we talk to Nick Schneider about the emotional limitations inherent of video games as opposed to films. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's get started. For the uninitiated, Journey is a downloadable-only PSN title developed by that game company. It is the third in a series of games that this developer has made for Sony, and it's the last one, according to the agreement, the other two being Flow and Flower. This game is already one of my contenders for Game of the Year, and one of my favorite games of all time. And in the next 10 or so minutes, I'm going to explain why, and why you should play it. The story in Journey is one that is very open to interpretation. Though it hints at some of what's going on, most of the world is just built around you being able to decide what it means yourself. Personally, this game kind of reminds me of the way life is. It's kind of a spiritual journey through the life of a character who is living an abnormal existence. He's trying to reach this mountain. That's his ultimate goal in his life. And as he goes along, he sees that he's unable to get to this goal by himself because of conditions outside of his control. And he is helped, he is guided by people that he doesn't know, that you never will know as the player and as the character, until the end of the game, until you die, basically. I don't think it's outwardly religious in any way. It is very much just an allegory of our own existence. And in that way, it's very profound. I came out thinking, I played the game twice, and when I left it the second time, I thought completely differently about what it was trying to say. And I think that is an interesting thing that games haven't done enough, the open-ended interpretation of what it means, what are they trying to tell you. In a year defined by DualShock and Mass Effect and things like that, where there's a very, structured, plot, character-driven stories, I feel that a game like Journey is very unique, and just the open-ended interpretation of it is unparalleled this year, and I really, really love that about it. It's a genuinely fascinating psychological study playing that game where it doesn't outright say anything about anything, but it's very much how you choose to interpret it. Journey is described as an experience. It's interesting. A lot of games use gameplay as a vehicle to drive a story, or vice versa. They use a story as a vehicle to drive gameplay. Journey does neither of these things. In fact, it has gameplay and story and experience all wrapped in one. The gameplay is just as beautiful as anything else in the game. The sensation and the weight that you feel flying through the wind, powered by your cape, your coat, whatever it is, it's really a marvelous experience. There's nothing on that's like it besides maybe Flower, the other game. Not only that, but just the way that you control the game, just the controller layout is very easy to understand. It feels like a game that's designed for anyone to experience. There's no complexities going on in there. It's just simple controls, and you don't even have to control the camera. If you're a casual gamer, you want to show a casual gamer this, then just give them a DualShock, because they can give the camera controlling ability to the DualShock, the motion controls, and that feels very good. I didn't do that because I'm kind of a control freak, and I wanted to use analog instead to control my camera, but both work very well. Overall, just the gameplay and Journey is fun. It is a fun game to play, but it is also a beautiful experience to play this game. It just feels fantastic. I think that Journey may be one of the best-looking games that has come out in a long time. It's a game that uses kind of limited color palette. There isn't a lot of variety in colors, like basic colors. It's shades and stuff that most of the colors are based off of. And that's okay, because just the way that this world is presented is unbelievable. I'm playing this game, I'm constantly just marveling at this world that I get to transverse. It's a world that it looks better than Skyrim. It is a world that is smaller than Skyrim, sure, but it is more interesting. It is visually striking. There are some levels in it, including the last one, but there are just levels in that game that I have to fight to keep playing because I just want to stand there in there's some sandstorms, and they're just a sandstorm of diamonds. It's one of those games that you really can't be defined artistically by just screenshots. You have to play this game. It's just an amazing, amazing looking game. There's no other way to describe Journey. It's just amazing. I have honestly never been so impressed with graphics in a game until now. Outland is a game that I praised, but it's not even close to the interesting art as Journey is. So, that is another reason why Journey is just a beautiful thing to behold. Austin Wintory composed the score for Journey, and he did an excellent job. A game about evoking a sense of wonder in players absolutely has to have interesting music, and Journey does not disappoint. It's very much based on strings and stuff like that, but it can be very versatile. In some moments, it's exhilarating as you fly through the air, and in other moments, it can be heart-wrenching as your character goes through trials and tries to survive in this world. In that way, this soundtrack works so well as a kind of parallel to what's going on in the game. And I think that's what a video game soundtrack should be. Don't get me wrong, I like catchy music as much as the next guy. But Journey is proof that the reason we have game music is to enhance the experience of the game. And Journey's music perfectly captures the spirit of it, of the game, and enhances it a million times over. I love the music, and I can't wait for the soundtrack. The online functionality of Journey is quite an interesting concept. Throughout the game, randomly selected PSN users will be brought into the journey that you are having. You know nothing about these characters, and you are unable to communicate with them in any other way than by sending out a sort of call, a ray kind of thing that tells you to jump. Together, you fulfill goals and help each other out, and though you know nothing about them, you are brought together closer than I've seen in almost any other game, a bond of desperation almost. One of the most powerful moments in the entire game for me was at the end when I saw the players I had interacted with throughout the game's names. Next time I play for the game, I'm going to make sure that I take down all their names and send them messages thanking them for experiencing it with me. When one of them leaves your game for various reasons, it's a sad affair, and you feel like you've lost a friend. Even though the feeling doesn't last long, it's still an interesting feeling to experience in the game at all. The emotional impact of this game is astounding. I cried during this game. I didn't sob hysterically or anything, but in a certain moment near the end of the game, when you start to lose resolve, tears welled in my eyes. No other game has ever done that to me, not even games built around emotional stories. This game, without ever having a word been spoken, was the most powerful experience I've had in a game. I felt emotions from exhilaration to despair to camaraderie. This is why I think that everyone needs to play Journey. It isn't just an indie art game. That's an oversimplification of it. I don't even think of that as an indie game. It is an experience. It is an emotional roller coaster, going through so many different emotions in such a simple way. It is a lesson in video game design. It is a masterpiece, and it is one of the best games I've ever played. So this week, I have Nick join me to talk about the divide between movies and games in terms of emotional interactivity. So I guess we'll start off with what each of us believes, and I will interrupt you. Explain your position on this.
Explain my position?
Yeah, how do you feel about the emotional differences between movies and games?
Video games do not provide the same emotional response for me as video games do, and that is because of the interactivity of video games. You can't recreate a movie plot with player choice and player control.
Okay. And my response to this ridiculous, this unfounded claim, It's ridiculous even to make such an assertion, but I did say I would listen to Nick and then deconstruct his puny argument. The way I feel about it is, we haven't yet found a way that we can combine players' actions with a set plot in order to create emotional response. I think we're on the way. I feel like games, even though they've evolved very quickly, still, we should give them more time to figure out how they work. Just because we aren't as crafty as movies were, where we for a long time had nothing. We're better than movies, just stupid movies. I think that we still have, there's a chance that interactivity could be more powerful if it's used right.
plot of the game itself kind of fell flat in terms of actually providing something fun to play. And then you have, and the same thing with Heavy Rain. While I champion that as a great game, it's still a game. It's not a emotional experience to me. I mean, I feel betrayed at the end, but I don't necessarily like leave feeling like my life has changed. I haven't had a life-changing moment from a video game. I haven't played a video game that's made me go, wow, this changed the way I feel about the world. I've seen plenty of movies that have done that.
What was the last movie that you saw that did that?
That made me feel, that changed the way I feel the world?
Yep. Nick, I know that you're not an authority on films like I am, but True Grit did not come out last year. It came out 2 years ago. And
it was a
remake of a movie that came out a long time ago. I realize that your perspective is not as broad as mine is, but you are going to have to see facts as what they are, Nick. Continue. Obviously, you haven't played Overblood 2, but continuing, the whole thing about movies is your lack of interactivity, as you already mentioned. Player choice, there is no such thing as a player choice in a movie. You are forced to see things as they are, not how you would want them to appear, and in that way, video games, you have some choices. They're still linear. I've seen very few games that actually have meaningful decisions. There's this kind of idea that there's a fate sense of power, and I feel like that fate sense of power doesn't really exist, so it's a good parallel to movies, where it's not really, it doesn't really matter. That you can make little choices, but they can still guide you in such a way to get a final result. And the only real choice you have is to change the way you're experiencing it, like turning on a light or turning the game off, which isn't much different than your choices with a movie.
Well, let's look at it like this. I mean, think about it like this. Red Dead Redemption was supposed to be one of those games with this great plot, but you end up putting too much player choice involved in player interaction, to the point where players totally play a character different than what John Marston actually is, and it creates that disconnect between storytelling and player choice. If you look at a game like Skyrim, because I think it's the height of player choice right now that you can really get, there's a total disconnect from the story as a player because you get too much choice. You don't get to tell a focused story. Movies can tell that focused story, video games can't because of the lack of interactivity. I'm not saying that video games are necessarily worse than movies. I'm just saying that in terms of making a life-changing moment in a video game, you're going to have to give up player choice. And how much player choice are you willing to give up before a game isn't a game anymore?
I feel like I was agreeing with you until you said until a game isn't a game anymore. And I feel like that mentality of what a game is kind of the reason why we're having this discussion in the first place. If I were to say a game could be a very minimalistic in terms of interactivity, where you just see a story and then you make slight changes in decisions, then that could be as powerful as a movie. But the strange assumption that there's a way that games are supposed to work, I feel, is clouding people's vision to what games what games can do in terms of storytelling. I'm trying to figure out how to say this. I feel that blaming it on the business side of things and saying the reason that storytelling in games is worse is because people have decided they want more choice is kind of, it's kind of just giving developers a crutch. There are other ways to tell a story, even without cutscenes. I feel cutscenes are an extremely lazy way to tell a story. I'm glad that there's this movement to get rid of cutscenes because they're cheap. They're just being a movie. You're watching a movie, you're not playing a game. And so, people haven't necessarily said they don't want stories anymore. People may have said they want multiplayer, but that's completely different. They just want stories that are better, that work as games, as opposed to movies. And that's my problem with Heavy Rain, where at some point I just didn't feel like I was playing a game anymore. I felt like I was watching a movie, and it wasn't really a movie I wanted to be watching, so...
But at the same time, a lot of the world felt alive. Rapture felt alive, but it also felt very dead. You know, it felt like it relied a lot on the story to be played out in text and audio rather than what was actually happening in the world to create that world of that living atmosphere of Rapture.
But, of course, I think that's justifiable in terms of what the story of Bioshock was, that this was a dead world. You were looking at this world that had long since, that had passed away, basically, and you were trying to see what went wrong. And so that's the only thing, like, if this actually happened, you wouldn't be seeing anything really alive. You'd just be seeing the leftovers of this once great city. And trying to figure out what went wrong. So I think that Bioshock, the reason that it was that way was because of the story. So, the reason I defend Rapture as... It has to do with the story of Bioshock, which is you are Jack exploring this world, and it's a dead world. There's really nothing left to hint at what happened to you besides what you find in the game.
Right.
So
I knew you were going to bring that up, that's why I brought that point up.
From a story perspective, it was... That's why it was happening. So that's why I'm interested in Bioshock Infinite, because it doesn't look like the same concept. So I'm interested to see how, without using cutscenes, which Tim Levine has said he does not watch cutscenes and he won't make them, I'm interested to see what they're going to do.
Right.
So you said that, but you knew I was going to answer that way, so why did you say it? Like, do you have an argument against that?
No.
Well, then you lose.
I just was predicting. Okay. That was a good line of conversation.
Okay. Well, so I guess the consensus here that we have at the moment is that games could have these emotional impacts if we were able to put aside the conventions of games and instead work on making storytelling mediums. Like toys can't tell stories because they're just features. And games, a lot of them are just features. They're not actual stories. So the way you're going to get emotional impact is through putting aside what are our conceptions about games. And obviously not all of them will do that because not every movie is a fight club. So I mean, it's just, there'll be games that do it well, and there'll be games that don't do it well. And there are some emotions that games are good at evoking. Okami, I'm playing that right now, and there's a lot of feelings of joy and all that in the game. It's just a game that makes you feel good, which isn't as powerful as Bioshock or something like that, but it's still considerable. On the point of graphics, I feel that they can enhance storytelling, but not in the way that people assume they do. Okami, I think, right now has a pretty good story, but I've been paying attention to the story and then paying attention to the world, which is the way that it's presented. It kind of tells its own story. And that's the kind of graphics I want to see. I don't want to see better graphics. Skyrim doesn't have the best graphics for a modern 2011 game, but it uses the graphics it has to create a world that interests you without following the main story.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. We need to remove this focus on convention. You can't tell the same kind of story with movie. You have to remove this focus on convention in video games, like Shadow of Colossus did, as I was saying, or like Bioshock. Bioshock was pretty unique in that everything's audio log, everything's a text log. There are no characters that you really interact with face-to-face. I mean, you occasionally see another character, but that's about it. That game looks great, but it also has that kind of stylized graphics that make it less focused on those. and more about creating a world. Like, Fallout 3 creates a world, but it doesn't tell a great story. I don't think Skyrim tells a great story unless you make it a personal story. But they remove a lot of the conventions that we're used to in video games. They remove that you have to go here and do this. They just give you that world and say, here. Like, even Grand Theft Auto, for all the freedom that people pronounce that you get with Grand Theft Auto, you're still tied to that sort of story. Everything unlocks in a natural progression. You can't go to the next island because you have to. There's an accident, you know, that you can't go here because there's this, and you're still locked into these conventions with Grand Theft Auto that you don't get, and then that's what I want. I want to see is remove the convention and start making games that are unique, because with that unique gameplay and those unique ways of telling the story, we will get those experiences that Hollywood provides, because those games just are.
I think that's a pretty good place to end. One last note on the side. There's this kind of backlash against pretentious games, or what they label as that, because they are different. I remember Jim Sterling, who I respect greatly and who does a lot of great work, but I completely disagree. There are games like The Path that are pretentious, but they were different, and I respect them for that, and I feel that the way that we're going to get out of this rut is for people to start recognizing games that may seem pretentious, but they're different. And so, that was just a discussion on video games, storytelling versus movies, not really a debate, or it was just kind of a back and forth. Nick, where can people find you online?
You can find me at thegameeffect.com. I am an editor for that website. And therealporf.com is my podcast.
Okay, and right now we're working on something that's a thing that I probably shouldn't even be talking about because it isn't yet a thing, but look forward to that in the future. And thanks everyone for listening.